Good evening, everyone sitting at home. Welcome to yet another episode of Open Bar. We are extremely lucky tonight to be joined by the beautiful Brian and Janice Hollingworth of Blackgate Distillery as we get to consume some yummy whiskeys and rums. Hello, Brian and Janice. How are you guys going?
Good.
Great night. How are you doing?
Doing okay. So as we discussed on the phone, we're actually going to do a little bit of a rando lineup. We're going to actually try some current releases, and then Brian and Janice can walk us through it, and then we're going to try some future releases. Yeah.
Sweet.
All right. Let's, I think, kick off with rum, you guys. What do you reckon?
Good idea, yeah. Always rum first.
Rum first. All right. Let's start with just the normal rum, the Australian dark rum, which has just come out. I'll let you guys do your pouring, because...
Yep. I'm driving.
You're driving, and right now I've got heavy hands. Russell, can you turn my volume up because I cannot hear anyone?
Wait.
Was that
to
take your mic?
Testing! No, I can only hear myself at all. But I can't hear them.
When they talk, you'll hear them.
No, I can't. Okay.
You will.
All righty. It's been a long... Mine? You want a lid? I thought we were going to swoop straight from the bottle.
I was going to throw it at the screen.
Throw it at the screen.
Camera.
Sacrilege. So this has just arrived in WA a couple weeks ago. Yummy, yummy dark rum. Tawny port. Oh, yeah. Fuck me. Excuse me. That's delicious. Oh, fuck me.
What were you going to say there, Janice?
I was just making sure it was the 62, 63, 64.
Yes, it is. Indeed.
Yep.
Oh, sorry about that, guys.
So distilled December 2016, bottled September 2020.
Yes.
Freshy.
And from memories, you two, I'm going to use the polite terms. This was a bitch to work with. Was that correct?
It just took longer than usual to settle down, but yes. It flopped out.
Yes, but
much longer.
It smells and tastes like it was worth every bit of effort there.
It definitely was. It came out really nicely, but to get it to there, it was just shit.
See, I said the right words. You're, I think, the only distillery that I get to say the naughty words with. Everyone else, I'm like, oh gosh, golly. Boys, no naughty words tonight. all right, man. Gosh golly.
Sorry, I'm all over the place with...
We are having technical difficulties with headsets and not being able to hear, so I'm actually listening through Jason.
I can't hear anything now anyway. So we'll just talk about how good this smells and tastes for now.
Yes. So this, like I said, has just actually come into WA and is getting ready to be starting being stocked by a couple of venues. Actually, no, the only venue currently stocking this in WA is Como Liquor. He got the first order of it in the state. Your second fill, last dark rum, was quite yummy. Was very, very spirit forward. And your overproofs almost are always really, really barrel forward. And this right here seems to be a good balance between the two. Like the spirit's coming out, but the barrel's having its say in the conversation as well for myself. What was that?
it was a really nice combination of the three barrels. So we had one that was slightly oaky, and we thought by combining the three, it was going to be even it all out a bit. So it was good.
Mm. Are you guys going to be continuing with the dark rums? Because you and I have had a couple of chats about the whether it's going to go down the overproof path or just dark rum or both.
They're all dark rums because they're all made from molasses.
Yes,
but,
yes.
We will. The only reason we keep doing underproof is purely because we've still got labels. you know, we're a bit tight, so we want to use the labels up and. I think sometimes the OP's just a bit strong for people that are starting to like the rum, so we possibly will get another batch.
No, actually, I think you actually are right on that. Is, you know, the overproof, it's one of those ones where most anyone I introduce it to just kind of go, whoa. But if you're, especially if you're not used to that higher ABV, the dark rum at that 45 to 46, 47%, I think is a nice little break and a little bit more approachable.
Yeah.
I don't want to drink it because it smells yummy. Polly, you're the rum man, so...
Yeah, I'm just sitting here in silence.
You're sitting here in silence and enjoying it.
Yeah. What can I say? It's bringing my good friend Uncle Rumbo straight into the room with me. And the pussy that doesn't like it.
Kim.
Yeah. So it's just delicious, mate. So what else can I say?
You know,
I'm starting on rum. I'm finishing on rum today?
No. We're going to go through the overproof, and we're going to go through a very special rum that I've been... I'm stroking the bottle. I'm stroking that bottle because it is precious to me.
Yeah. Hey, don't worry, guys. We're working on Russ getting us, our producer getting us over there to come and have a rum.
Yeah, I think we're going to do like a little like road trip, field trip, I think is the best way to put it.
To Blackgate.
Blackgate, Corowa.
That'd be ideal.
I think...
Coming out this way, it's not going to be a little road trip.
Come on, it's close enough.
If someone else is driving and I can sleep, then that's a little road trip.
I like this idea. You know, have a big old whiskey, have a big old rum, and then just have a little bit of a snooze.
Perfect.
And then, you know, because it's work-related, you can start at 8 in the morning like we did our last time when we were over at your house because, you know, cast-strength rum at 8 in the morning is what normal, healthy, functioning adults do.
For the booze industry, that's perfect. For the
booze industry, it is completely normal.
Hey, guys, I got one question. Obviously, harps on about you had some issues with this, and you know, I'm coming from a place where I don't really understand how you end up with something that tastes this good, having had issues the whole way along. Is there any way you can kind of break down for us the issues along the way, or is that getting too deep and dark?
No, basically it was – so when we decant a bottle and break it down to bottle strength, we add water to it and – there's a reaction that occurs. And this time round, normally it takes about 2 months roughly for it to settle out because we don't chill filter. So we just let it settle out and then siphon off the rum or the whiskey. But this time round, I think it nearly took four. Was it three or 4 months? Yeah, it was just ridiculous. Yeah. It was, really starting to annoy us. So,
But the problem, it wasn't flavour related. The flavour was never at risk. It was just a process.
Okay. So it was like the child that come good after first few grades at school. And
pretty much.
That's a good description of it, actually. Oh, molasses coming through and the spice on it.
I didn't pour enough, simply.
Oh, I think I know somebody who can solve that problem for you. No, I know a guy who's got access to this.
You got access.
Not me, I just know a guy. Oh, gosh, this is just, absolutely delightful.
Mm. How are you finding it, Josh?
And you guys have been quite busy over there, as we were discussing this morning, with alcoholic cyclists.
we've been... inundated with cyclists. A trail has just opened up in the area and we get cyclists daily now.
Yeah, right.
So we've got to adapt to that. They're lovely people, but they ride push bikes.
Is that like a half-time break for them or just on the way somewhere?
Sometimes it's an early morning start, so they dropped in at 9 o'clock this morning on their way through, so...
Hey,
I did read somewhere that there was a few falls too. So,
two or three whiskeys.
That's probably not the rum and whiskey's fault. They were riding on sand, so
it's definitely the sand's fault, not the whiskey.
Absolutely.
That's what I do at the pub.
I think completely we can make this like a health related trip. You know, we can cycle through New South Wales. But, like, we'll just park outside the distillery, then cycle to the distillery, and then drink, and then cycle back to the van and just load the van up.
I wouldn't even trust myself doing that.
As long as we can arm ourselves with Nerf guns while we're doing it, mate.
I'm pretty sure Brian's a dead eye, so... And Janice strikes me as a dodgy, like, sniper, so... I think we could do that. I know a guy who's got Nerf guns. Oh, that's absolutely lovely. What do you guys reckon? Move on to the next?
Yeah. That was a great start. I needed that after today.
Yes. Let's move on to the overproof, which is a special overproof actually for myself, because this is the first cask strength rum that I ever had. That Tal and I actually had at your place at 8 in the morning. And you were kind
enough. That was the one I lied to you about.
Yes, that was, but we don't discuss that. Or we can discuss it because it's still absolutely freaking hilarious.
Did you only tell him it was 40% or something?
No. Do you want to discuss it or no?
No, it's okay.
Okay, we won't discuss the story. But yeah, so there was this one right here. Was actually first time I had it. Was at 65% straight out of the barrel, and was like, "Ooh, that's mother's milk." And Brian, you guys were like bottling strength. We were discussing, and you're like, "I was like, no, you need to do it at cash strength." There's absolute crazy Nate. No one's gonna buy that. A little bit of seduction. Polly bought one. I think Jason bought one. Yeah. Little bit of seduction, we got it over the line. Absolutely super yummy rum, and this is actually that same cask brought down to overproof strength. So
51.4.
I love this rum.
Oh, no, this is personal one.
Oh,
this cask strength, you said. Yeah.
Oh, sorry,
I don't know.
We're trying to decide which one you is. It the 74 broken down to 51.4? Is it the one
76?
I did cask strength for you.
I thought it was a 76 BGO.
76. Yep. 76, sorry.
Yep, that was the one that you did at cask strength for 3 bottles. I don't think we even labeled it what cask it was, honestly. I can't remember. I had to look at the label.
So we're talking cask number, 76.
Yeah, yeah. Cask number 76 for the cask strength. And then it was funny. We had some pre-sales over here after a tasting involving that little cask strength number. And we had an issue where some of the bottles disappeared, and no one could figure out quite what had happened over the course of COVID, where these extra bottles that had almost essentially been pre-sold had happened. And I just found out today that all of the venues inside the all the bars inside this major venue over the course of COVID decided that they were going to steal all the Blackgate stuff and split it out amongst one another, unbeknownst to why this one manager was off.
Oh.
And they were like, yeah, it took them like 2 weeks, 3 weeks to figure out what had happened to all these bottles of this cask strength rum, is that the other staff had been taking them. I will not disclose that venue, but it was hilarious when I found out. So I was like, oh, okay, I should be visiting these new venues, eh? Because they obviously like the cask strength rum.
Nate, the first rum we released was at cask strength, and we hadn't done one since because we just did it for novelty value. And, when you come up with the idea, we'll give that a try.
Yeah.
So there's obviously a market for it.
I think there's definitely a small market for it. Like I've discussed is that there's that very niche market for those premium high-end rums. I think it's fun when you, especially like this cask, which was just really outstanding and really, really impressive at the high ABV. I think there's a market for that, but I think you'd still struggle to sell every cask at cask strength or, 300 bottles at cask strength. But I'll quite happily buy 30 or 40 off you at a time.
Hey, we also find that your palate's at its best early in the morning too.
Oh, definitely.
We do our tastings in the morning, our cask tastings and strength, but often end up at the pub for lunch.
There's nothing wrong with that. I think we did something very similar while we were visiting because there was a whole lot of work getting done that night and that day, actually. And then the next day, I was really tired. I don't know why. I think it was like 1 a.m. we called off. We quit working at 1 in the morning.
Yeah. Big work day.
I've heard that from a lot of distillers now, Brian, that your palate's best in the morning. I'm starting to think, I don't know, maybe it's just an excuse.
No, it's just been proven, scientifically proven.
Much big sample size at my house. Best in the morning, especially as you go further into the day. Your palate really gets tired after a while. If you start at 8 and by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you just really can't taste anything.
Is there a theory behind that with whether you've had breakfast or not as well?
I actually assume so, yes. And also, I think I've heard coffee also definitely influences it as well as to how your palate's going to sit.
I mean, I personally, from the shop point of view, people walk in my door at 10 o'clock in the morning with whiskey and gin and wine to try, and I'm just like, get the hell out of my face. Like, I haven't even had breakfast yet. So I just wonder if that palate equates to whether you have eaten or not.
I think so. And I will make a note to never come to your shop before one.
Yeah. Come with a little.
Oh, egg McMuffin. Yeah. Like here's breakfast and here's some booze.
We are talking Eastern Standard Time here, note.
Oh, there we go. Bang, bang.
This is nice. This is actually a little bit more delicate on the nose
than the
like. Not talking about the ABV, talking about the actual.
Yep.
Nose coming off.
I really do. Like I said, I have a soft spot for this particular cask.
So this is that same whiskey that we have.
Same rum that you have actually in the shop there. It's basically, like I said, you've got, I think, two bottles of that cask strength left. This is it broken down.
Yep. So in reality, this is a rum telling us to calm the fuck right down.
Fuck yeah.
Don't like that. But it drinks well.
It drinks very, very well. Now, you guys had told me you guys had a fairly big and heavy day today, so I think we'll try and keep this a little bit shorter episode than we normally do. It's okay, the boys can drive home after five or six drinks. There's nothing wrong with that. Especially high ABV.
You can buy me the food before I go.
I'll buy
Paulie something tomorrow.
Oh, yes. So this is one that it's a pre-release that I've been very excited for only a year. We've got a Australian Mudgee's Shiraz cask rum.
All right.
How many can I get?
It's not even bottled yet, but I've been patient.
It's not even 2 years old yet. It's not rum yet.
So good, though.
November, it becomes 2 years old.
Yep. We're almost bang on. We had it right at a year.
Yeah, but it's coming along really, really nicely, actually.
Is it still quite as pink as it looks in the bottle here? Because it has...
I can't see much in the bottle there.
Let me hold
there
up the bottle.
There isn't much left.
There's not much left. Yeah. There's a bit of a pink
here. I honestly haven't looked at it. Oh, it is quite pink there. No, to be honest, I couldn't tell you. We haven't sort of had that closer look lately.
Likely. First time I saw it, I was like, that rum's pink. I've heard of pink gin, but not pink rum. But I
chances are it won't be that like that.
It's hard to tell in the cask.
Yeah.
So, Polly, this is the first time you've gotten to try this.
Yes, true.
Oh, it's so yummy. It is a small little rum at 65.5% ABV. Fruit, just so much red fruit coming off of that. Spice and the molasses and sweetness.
Yeah, spice in that is superb, isn't it?
So much spice.
I can see a lot of whiskey drinkers going for that, I reckon.
Yeah. I've thrown my hand up for 30 bottles at cask strength already.
Please. Do it. Do it, guys.
Only 30?
I've only got one liver. Oh, you meant for you guys. Sadly, you guys aren't friends with Brian and Janice. I am.
guys, are we friends?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm just saying that.
Put him on the spot. I had to say yes there.
No, we didn't.
Well, I wonder if they call us customers behind their backs.
Our customers?
We are definitely customers of Black Gate.
We buy a lot of this stuff.
I'm talking at a retail level, not just from a, you know, we're not just purchasing for the store. We are purchasing for our own
kitty.
So.
Oh, yes. Right. It's the hardest thing I've discovered about being an importer distributor is you get something like this and you're like, one bottle is not going to be enough to last me the rest of my life. I need like eight of those.
That's superb.
spend your profits on.
That's the problem.
Buying your own stock.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Is I've had to just kind of go no, and every so often there's that one bottle that comes along and you just go yeah, I'm gonna break the rule and buy that, but otherwise you have to kind of go goodbye, sweet prince. You're gone.
How do you think they do it at the distillery? Like when these things come along, do they just must freak out?
Actually, how do you guys handle that when it comes to the distillery? Do you ever have like a cask that you just go, I need this in my life, and fuck the public?
No. we haven't yet.
Fair play.
Yeah. We like the public knowing what we're about, so...
Fair play.
Do you keep a handful of each release back for yourselves?
We did, but we've sold them.
we have kept every first bottle of whiskey.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So...
That might be our superannuation fund, who knows?
Nice. I was going to say party at your house.
We used to keep two, but then when we had the 10-year... anniversary for World Whiskey Day, we opened one of every bottle over the bar.
what year was that? Was that 2 years ago?
Last year.
So how are you guys, other than trying to keep up with demand, been finding, you know, life, you know, post-COVID now, sort of post-COVID? You know, where, which states are you getting the biggest orders from? You know, all those poor bastards locked in Victoria. Are they ordering a lot of booze? I mean, obviously you've got the cyclists stealing all your stuff, but, like, who else is, you know, drinking all your juice?
The bars and bottle shops have come back online, so that's really good in New South Wales. Not so much in the other states, but I don't have anyone else, and I haven't been to the other states to try and sort of talk and sell as much either.
ACT's gone.
Yeah, doing a trip to ACT next week, so hopefully we'll get some more places there. But, yeah, Western Australia's going great guns for us. And, we've had quite a few online sales, but our visitation rates have just skyrocketed over the last month. So instead of getting one person for a week, we get like six a day. So six visitations a day. So it's great.
And you guys are really centrally located from memory. Like, you know, you're just like a 10-minute drive from Sydney or something like that.
Easy.
Yeah, very handy.
Very handy. So like literally these folks are making the trek up that way to come visit you guys.
Luckily we're sort of the middle of going to all the other places out west, so that they'll always drop in if they see that we're here. So it's good.
And you were just telling me the story the other day about a distillery over there that produces their own rum that was pushing people onto your rum, actually. Was that correct from memory?
Yep.
So when your competition is selling your own product for you, that's not too bad.
That's impressive. That's good.
Admittedly, I don't think they had any of theirs to sell. So, yes, I think they were sold out, but, yes, it was still nice to get.
Fair play. So what do you guys prefer producing, whiskey or rum?
Rum's easier.
I only make rum, so I don't go there.
I was about to say, so who works harder then? I'll leave that.
Considering that Janice does all the tax, all the sales, all the bookwork, and produces rum, and I just produce whiskey, pretty sure she works harder.
Good call.
What do you guys reckon?
I'm calling BS on that. You know, that's the kind of thing you say when your wife's in the room. You know?
Oh, no.
That's true.
I know I do, so.
Mrs. Russell sitting at home, just so you know, you've just won all those arguments.
Yes, every time.
No, if you knew Brian, you'd know that he's telling the truth.
Every time I call up, I'll get Janice, but then I'll hear like, oh yeah, Brian's out camping or he's out dirt biking.
Lately.
What was that?
I said, lately, that's been true.
You know, again, the joys of owning your own business. And then you guys were talking about doing a road trip over to WA in the next few months as well.
Yeah, after the new year, probably.
Oh, yeah, you were working on a camper van or a caravan or something, wasn't it?
Yep, it's all tricked out now and ready to go. We've got enough space to put a heap of stock in the back so we can continue doing online sales everywhere we go. So, yep, we're keen.
Bring rum and we'll let you in.
that's the payment at the border.
Yeah, well, that's true, if we're allowed in.
I just think that we should just have like an epic, you know, Blackgate bar takeover.
Let's do it.
Not even a bar takeover, just open up the back of the camper van and...
it's on.
So I just, you know, like I don't do... unlike you, I don't know how to make a cocktail to save my life. Bartenders do.
I'm sure Janice will knock something up easily. I've actually heard the I've heard about the morning Bloody Marys at the Blackgate Distillery.
Yes, they are quite good.
Yeah, we made those with Peter Newmake. I've sort of gone off it a bit though because it's easy to drink too much of that.
So are we talking like, you know, Bloody Mary's at like 67% ABV or?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that's.
That's impressive.
Good morning.
And delicious.
You can take care of your hangover because you just sleep for the rest of the day. It's like have a couple of those in the morning and just snooze for the rest of the evening.
Or just be half awake and.
That too. Or have a hangover for 2 days.
You've just got to take advantage of your palate at 10 o'clock in the morning.
So in terms of the future, what kind of casks are you looking at? Are you guys looking to play around with any Pedro Jimenez? You guys have got the bourbon casks down, the Buffalo Traces, but any other new casks that we don't know about yet?
Just pursuing some more local wine casks from the Mudgee region. We'll have a look at that. They work really well with the rum. I haven't been game to do any whiskey in them yet, but I don't know. A lot of second, or with the whiskey anyway, a lot of second and third fills. But yeah, the rum works good in the wine cask, so I don't know, whatever turns up, basically.
We've been trying a lot of whiskey lately in red wine casks that it's just been knocking it out of the park though, right, Nat?
Koroa. Milk and Honey.
Yeah, they're just killing it.
And a few other ones. Starward, obviously, is always knocking it out of the park. Yep.
So just going back to this car strength that we just had, you said it's not rum until November. So what does that mean for release date? Can I buy it for Christmas, basically?
Probably not. Probably not. It really depends. We'll try it when it is rum. But... generally, it does need a bit longer just to get rid of all the spirity smells and what do you call it?
Higher alcohols.
Higher alcohols.
rum just seems to go better over 3 years.
Mm.
So we'll closely monitor it and see how it goes.
Keep an eye on it. Maybe another year. Maybe next Christmas. We can call it like.
I'll have to make a note for that. I can't remember that far ahead.
So what we're going to do is we're going to sell all of it, and then we'll tell you afterwards, and you can't buy it anymore.
I know where you live.
I shall eat you. Shall we move into some whiskey?
Let's do it.
That's a hard, hard...
Let's do it.
The newest of Paravatin.
So this is new ground for me, Blackgate whiskey.
Blackgate whiskey. You've tried some Blackgate whiskey. I'm sure you have.
Sure you have.
I think I stuck on the rums. Good.
You know me. If you know me, you've tried Blackgate whiskey. Ah, you're my doctor. Let's have some booze. Sir, please put the bottle away. You've got issues, sir. That would be me too. Oh, hello. I like your little...
Oh, sorry, you hadn't bored yet. I'm just depriving Nate of...
Sanctuary. Ooh, so yummy.
So we've got an Apera Vatting.
Why don't you guys talk about this one?
So this one's a marriage of three Apera vats, or 100-litre Apera casks, sorry, in a vat. Minimum 4 years, maximum 4.5.
47%.
Yeah, I think it's 47%. And, of course, anyone that doesn't know Apera, is the term we use now, we used to use sherry. So they used to be called sherry casks, but now we call them Apera because of geographical indicators. There were four of these casks, and I kept one for a single cask release, Ooh. The best one, of course. So these three were lovely, and they married together beautifully, and they got that lovely sweetness going there. And, yeah, we're pretty happy with this. And it was a big release, too, so that's great that we've got a fair bit of it.
Love the nose. The other cask that you held back, was that one of the COVID ones?
Yeah, 47.
Oh, that's... whiskey was dead sexy. Not like a Jim Murray kind of sexy, though, by the way. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like an attractive...
No comment.
You know, it's a whiskey that you'd introduce to your mom kind of level.
Yeah,
nice. Oh, Southern Comfort.
No. Look, okay, your mom, not mine.
So the vatting, how long were these married together for, or was it just a quick mix together?
Yeah, we vatted them. They sat there for a couple of months. We watered them back to bottle strength, and they sat there for at least 2 months. It would have been, yeah.
Yep. That nose is yummy. It reminds me.
It's like a jammy sweetness.
Very jammy. I got strawberry jam. Like, for me, again, this brings me back to, as discussed last week, actually, a bit of that red viney note kind of coming through, that cherry licorice.
I wasn't here.
Oh, you dumb cunt. I mean, jerk. He's a dumb jerk.
So with the fortified casks, they're not that far away from a wine cask, really. It's, you know, fortified's just fortified wine. So you get some similarities.
Mm. Are you guys looking at doing more vattings in the future, maybe with your bourbon casks, other peated bourbon casks, or are you guys
kind of... Yep. Yeah, I've got some first fill fortifieds with peated whiskey in them that are 3 years and over, and they've got quite a lot of cask influence, which some people still enjoy. But it's sort of not where we wanted to go, so we're going to vat those with some bourbon cask to sort of lighten them up a bit.
Ooh.
See where that goes, yeah.
I'm excited. I'm very excited.
Bit of a drier finish than I was expecting on that. It's a good combo, sweet on the nose and a bit drier on the palate.
I could just sit there for a while on that one.
Yeah, I find I... probably prefer it having sat for a little while and then drinking it.
Yep. I find a lot of your whiskey, so that works really, really well with them. So that little bit of oxidization really, really allows that spirit to kind of come punch out and lose a little bit of the heat, and it just makes it yummy. It's a really technical note, yummy, but I stand by it.
Is that like more smooth?
Maybe smooth. It is. Is this like smooth?
Yeah, I'd go yummy over
smooth. Yeah, yummy over smooth. It's like smooth. It just doesn't. I don't sit there and hear smooth and go, I'm drinking that tonight. But you go yummy, I'm like, yeah. But that was sounded wrong. Anyway.
that's like a loss for words size of deliciousness.
I'm going to use that to determine my next judging thing. I have a loss for words how good this is. That should actually...
Therefore yummy.
Very, very yummy, but it's not smooth.
But if smooth is a flavor, it becomes smoothier.
Smoothier. A Blackgate smoothie. You know, I could go with a Blackgate spider.
actually. Cocktail. Yes.
See?
We're on it.
See? Two out of the four people in the room looked at me and were like, that looks amazing. The other one looked at me in horror.
you can use your black gate to experiment, and then if it's good, then I'll believe you, and then I'll do it.
I don't know that I believe that you believe me. But you know what? For market research, it's tax deductions. It's advancing the science of whiskey. I'm willing to take this up.
So,
I mean, it's ice cream topping, right? It's just... It wasn't designed for that, clearly, but, you know, we'll give it a go.
Yeah, we'll make this work. Like, you know, you break down, like, you kind of open up whiskey sometimes by adding water and ice. Maybe ice cream. Like, sure.
Tell you what, I'll do it on the show next week, all right?
Maybe with this guy.
The rum. Okay, so you can do the rum. I'll do the whiskey.
All right, heated. So I'm taking this one?
No. You can buy one. I know.
We were at Kilbeggan Distillery in Ireland a few years back, and they were selling whiskey ice cream there. You'd get a little ice cream cup infused with Kilbeggan whiskey. They're lovely.
See? Beautiful.
It's a thing.
Actually, I think Tao was playing with that.
She's been playing around with that idea for whiskey freedom for the last 3 years.
How's that going?
Painful. Incredibly painful. Every time you approach like a gelato maker, an ice cream maker, and you're like, I want to do this, they go, are you fucking crazy? Okay, but I want to do it. Come on. And they always look at you like, nah. You have to buy like 1,000 serves. And you're just like, dude, I don't want to get the entire state fucked. I just want to get like 400 people smashed. Well, yeah, you know, it's like, have you had anything to drink today? No, I've only had ice cream. Come on.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Actually, Nate, it's funny you should say that because we now have Blackgate dark rum and peated whiskey chocolates.
Oh.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they're only cellar door.
I was about to say, are they online?
Available. But yes, they've been a hit so far.
Oh, geez. And you guys can't get it. I'm so sorry, guys.
No, I might still put an order through online and just hope it ends up in the box.
This absolutely lovely, lovely little whiskey. The one I'm looking forward to is the very last whiskey of the night, though. Something special.
So we got one more or two more?
Yeah, two more.
Two more.
We've got the latest. Yep.
I think the last time I saw you, or the last time I did a tasting with you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were at one stage releasing too many peated whiskies and had to cut back?
No, I just produced too many.
Produced too many. All right, so where's all the releases?
Yeah, they're in the post.
Remember when I said that I was working hard? Yeah.
I got some out today, the much anticipated 520s peated. I decanted those today.
Nice.
And so they're in a vat resting, and they came out at, you remember the
71.9%.
Yeah. So they'll probably lose a percent from while they rest. But, so it'll be above 70%. And they're bloody lovely. We tried it today. Mm. And so it's only going to get better as it rests. But, excited about that. So that's one to look forward to.
Mm. Beautiful.
I think the term is injected into the veins.
Possibly.
Possibly. Down for this.
Liver breaker.
Doesn't that mean it kind of bypasses the liver because it's in the bloodstream immediately?
Don't ask me about human biology.
Are you cracking that bottle, Nate?
No.
Oh.
I've actually just decanted the last bottle that we had into it. So I'm a lazy bastard. So like once it gets, as soon as we have space, I fill it up with the next one. That way you don't have two or three open bottles of the same product on the shelf at the same time.
I don't get how that's lazy.
Okay, smart.
It's efficient.
Thank you. Oh, this is such a good one.
All right. So what do we got here? We have Pure. Cask strength, barrel number BG074, an X20 cask.
And we've sold out.
It's sold out.
All of it. So the last of it in the country. Yeah.
In the glass?
Yeah. I know a guy.
Who's got a some. Couple.
I've got a few. This one sold out so fast. It's like you guys make good booze.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for making good booze. I do believe in a zombie apocalypse, I'd probably be drinking your whiskey. Like, I think my last drink on Earth would be like a Blackgate cast strength, because I'm pretty sure I'd be completely numb by the time the zombies bash through the door, and they're just like, they'll bite me, they'll get drunk, it'll give Tal time to get away. Zombies will start stumbling around the house, and I'll die a happy man.
Happy enough.
Happy enough. I'm easily to please. So what's the story behind this one, Brian? This little beautiful...
Yeah, so that's a 100-litre port cask, tawny, we call that now. First fill. So it's, is it first fill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First fill.
So there's a lot of cask influence on the middle of the palate there. And these smaller 100-litre fortifiers with the peated are a bit like a gateway whiskey for non-peated drinkers, because it still carries a lot of cask influence. And then you got that peat on the finish, which eases you into peated whiskey, I think.
Absolutely. This is astounding.
I also find that the peat kicks in right at a good time, like you don't get that burn from the 66.5% that you would expect.
No, I agree. And again, you know, I always find that, like, anyone who's at home sitting there and who's got any of your cask strength, especially your peated cask strengths, you open the bottle, pour that first pour, and let it sit there for a week or so, and it just opens up beautifully, at which point your bottle will disappear way, way too quick. As I've discovered in the past.
A week at a time.
A week at a time? Shut up, you. It's market research. Got to make sure that there's no batch variation between bottles.
Doing it for the people.
Doing it for the people. Can't help it that they're not getting the whiskey. It's mine.
Hey, but turn into a zombie. And
I haven't turned into a zombie yet.
Oh, no. But if you do, you might get a chunk out of Nate, you know?
Great. Now the zombies are going to be bashing my fucking door so they can get the fucking whiskey.
That's a dream come true for you, let's be honest.
Question without notice, guys. What is on your website at the moment that we can get?
The a pair of adding
and the underproof rum.
Yeah,
that is it.
That is it for now.
There are our two latest bottlings. They are quite big bottlings, so there's plenty of that, and we've got another big bottling coming up of the next overproof rum, and then like the 520s will bottle them in 2 or 3 weeks, and meanwhile I've got to get a vat going. Might even do a Solera vat of peated, so we can get some consistency there. Get one of those going.
Actually, I told a lie. I think there might be 174 left on their website.
Oh,
but that's it.
Beauty.
I can't wait for all the new stuff.
No, I've set a reminder straight after the show for the 520s. two, 3 weeks, get on the messages. How far away are we, guys?
You're only a week away from me.
If you subscribe to a website, you'll get an email when that's ready. You get a chance at it.
Small issue with that is I don't look at emails.
Yes, it's going to be difficult.
For everyone else, that's a good choice.
Everyone else, subscribe. Brian and Janice, I do apologize for the idiocy that is Jason. He's just a dumb cunt.
At least he's honest.
He's an honest, dumb cunt.
We won't waste our time sending him an email anyway.
There we go. It's not like he subscribes and you just unsubscribe him. Can you guys do that for him?
I'll actually go to look at my emails in a few weeks' time. I was like, there's nothing from Blackgate for a while.
We've unsubscribed you. We know you. You're a douche. You don't get none of our stuff.
I'll check my emails tonight and I'll reply to something from 2 years ago or something.
That's clever.
So I'm just wondering what the non-Blackgate whiskey drinker thinks of the peated.
This particular, I like it, yeah. Like you said, it's something, like I do like a peated whiskey, I just don't like them super strong. So for me, that's perfect. It's got that lovely balance of smoke versus, I mean, it's almost the sweetness of the whiskey as well. Like it's it works. It just works from a non-whiskey background talking palate.
Excellent.
Sorry, I just want to add, like, rum in a red wine cask, that cask strength will be really awesome too, though. Just saying.
I'll see what I can do.
Please.
Have you guys ever received any emails from the other states asking for a cask strength rum?
No.
Dumb cunts. At least we get it. Nah, I love that nose. Love that caramel coming through. Caramel smoke. It's a late day for everyone. Would you guys like to have the last whiskey, which is my favorite?
Sure. While we're pouring that, guys, maybe a couple of months ago now, we had Fleurieu Distillery on. You guys did a little
collab
with them a little while ago. Do you want to go a bit more into that? Because I don't think we spoke with Fleurieu much about that.
No, we didn't get much of a chance, yeah.
How did that come about, and was there any dramas, and was it a good
time? No, it was pretty exciting because Gareth is probably my favourite Australian whiskey producer. So we meet up now and then, or we used to, when things happened, and there were meetings and functions to go to, and we sort of get on pretty well, and then he floated the idea that maybe we should do a collaboration, so I was pretty excited. And just sent Gareth a few samples of different casks, and he picked one out, and he had a cask there chosen. And we just decanted the cask and sent the whiskey over to Gareth, and he did all the work, so it was really good, and just sent the bottles back. And we've got some great feedback. It's really popular. It's obviously sold out now. But there might be another one in the works.
That was my next question.
Yep, samples have been
exchanged.
Swapped,
yeah.
So.
That, I can't wait for that one. Time-wise, are we talking probably next year, aren't we?
We were hoping December, I thought.
Well, fuck me, that's fast. I mean, gosh golly, that's quick.
Yeah, no, it won't be December. It'll be next year.
I thought that's what Gareth said.
We'll see.
Anyway,
we'll see.
Who knows?
Where are we? October? Is it mid-October or something?
Yeah, mid-October. God damn, this year is flown yet dragged by.
Mm.
I can't decide.
yeah, it'll be up to the whiskey because Gareth does not rush things. He gets everything spot on and he's very patient, and that's why he does such a good job.
Mm.
Absolutely. Can't wait for that one. What we just poured here is another sample bottle, not yet released. What do we got? BG072 peated malt whiskey, sherry / whiskey / rum cask.
COVID cask.
Oh, yes.
Oh, so this won't be bottled, or it will be bottled?
So I will only briefly say is that when we did the COVID tasting, we'd basically asked Brian and Janice to bottle a very small amount of cask strength rums and whiskeys, and did the COVID tasting, which was pretty much the closest thing you could get to a fill your own in Australia that I'm aware of. And so Brian and Janice had sent over some samples, and this sample right here actually was so impressive that myself and Nico have actually bought the barrel. So we're going to be releasing this around November, actually, as a Drownful AWAS collaborative Blackgate exclusive. So, oh, that's right. You didn't get the chance to try it. I'm so sorry.
Hey, if it's coming out via those channels, then I will.
No, but this for me is absolutely... probably one of my whiskeys of the year, to be fully honest. 69.3% ABV. It won't be bottled at that, so we're not going to actually be bottling it at cask strength. We're going to be bottling it at a somewhat lower ABV. We still haven't decided. We're still actually kind of working our way through what ABV it'll be bottled at. One of the promises we made over the course of the COVID tasting is that none of those whiskeys would be ever be seen in exactly quite that form ever again. But Brian and Janice chose this one, and I think it's pretty amazing. Why don't you guys tell a little bit more about this little... Oh, fuck me, that's good.
That's my personal favorite so far with our peated whiskey, and it's basically the direction we've been heading in for a few years. And because it's a third fill, the cask just sits back and the spirit does all the talking, and it's really what we've been after. That's why I've gone to bourbon casks for the same reason, because they offer less influence. So I've got a lot of bourbon casks filled. And I've got some more second and third fill, smaller format fortified casks. But, yeah, this is definitely my personal favourite so far. But there are casks that I haven't tasted. So I've probably got a lot more of this type of whiskey to come, which is where, like I say, that's where we've been heading for years. And it's, well, I haven't been in the game long enough to know how to make the best whiskey, but that's the best whiskey we've made. So, we're excited about it.
It's really amazing juice. As you and I had a chat when we actually received the first sample, was that, you know, I love all of your ports. I love a lot of your sherry whiskeys, but one of the things that I've kind of been going on about for a while now is I really love to try Australian whiskey, where they're kind of taking that step back and they're letting that spirit really have its say in the conversation. And yeah. I actually think for myself, I get the sherry influence on the whiskey. I get the rum influence on this whiskey. It's all about everything working in perfect harmony on this one. And like I said, for me, my whiskey actually of the year. So it was quite funny. It was the first time I tried it. I was like, I want to buy that entire barrel. So Nico and I had a quick chat, and I was like, you need to try this, dude. And he's like, holy crap. And I'm like, we need to buy this barrel. And then Brian and Janice have been kind enough to sell us this barrel.
Beautiful. Love it. The very first nose, as soon as I poured it, was jam donuts. And that was kind of before the peated notes came through. And I was just like, amazing. Like a jam... cinnamon jam donut.
Yeah.
Love it.
Like, for myself, towards mid-palate, I get a little bit of rum influence, rum sweetness coming through. Like I said, this is one for me where all those casks' influences are coming out and having their say in the conversation. And I'm really... This cask actually is probably one of the casks I'm most excited about in a fair few years, where, you know, whenever we buy a cask, it's always a cask, a labor of love. And you go, this is going to be good, this is going to be good, this is going to be good. But then you get something like this, and you go, fuck me, fuck good. That's brilliant. And the price point, I think it was going to be $190 is what we're planning on it being a price point for our 500 mil. So, bloody reasonable as well.
Absolutely.
Oh, this makes me happy. I don't drink this one at all, because once it's gone, it's gone.
Thoughts, Paulie?
What's Paulie thinking?
I don't know what a cinnamon jam donut tastes like, so you lost me there. I've never had one. It's a bit like the licorice thing. You know, I
feel like we just need to take Polly, like, as opposed to like a like strip club crawl. We need to take him to like a food crawl, and you know, it's like just load him up on the carbs.
I had a deprived childhood.
Deprived, man.
Yeah. Bread and cheese, boys.
Bread and cheese. No, screw the strippers. It needs to be like, get them the jam donuts.
No offense, Paulie, but you're a long way from childhood, so you've had time to rectify that.
Yeah, I know.
That was
rude.
Saying,
I just don't do them. Yeah, thank you very much for reminding me. In all seriousness, I'm struggling to comprehend what's going on in that glass. That's how good it is. So, There's bits of everything happening, and it's kind of like, you know, you dream of a whole heap of different flavors going into something, and there's a cylinder up the middle, which is what that actually tastes like, and I'm just struggling to define the cylinder right now. But
that is fair enough.
It's delicious.
The ABV for 69
is... Oh.
It was...
It's like a 55 tops.
It was funny as the night actually the COVID tasting, you know, after we'd done everything, we'd done the tasting and everything on that kind of logged off. As you've had a few drinks, I like to sit there and pop on a video game and just go, I want to have a see how far the night takes me. And so I'd sat there and I'd had a small glass of this and I'm just like, my God, that doesn't drink like 69. And then I had an American whiskey at 50 and I'm like, fuck me, that's hot. Who the fuck? It was a sample someone had given me. I'm like, who the fuck produced this? I need to email them and be like, bitches, get your job right, because I just had a 70% that was fine and your 50 was like, what the hell? It's hot, hot fire on my mouth. We may not sell this. I mean, I just keep the barrel. You guys can go fuck yourselves.
Just smash a tap into the barrel. And
oh, hey, can I do that, actually? Will you guys do that? Come on. I can pay for the transport, and the barrel can come hang out at my house. Like, not my house, because we don't store any booze at my house, so we have water. Jason's house.
Nathan, I've already decanted it, so it's easier to ship.
Oh, that's perfect. Oh, this is amazing.
All lining up. Love it.
Loving it.
Guys, it's hitting
7 o'clock.
10 o'clock over there, so we shouldn't keep you too long. We usually end the show with a bit of a shout-out each, but when we've got guests on, we'll let you have a shout-out. Anyone who's helped you out, or recently especially, or who you'd like to spare a thought for. Sorry to lump this on you.
What a douchebag this guy is.
Anyone you'd like to shout out?
Hey, Garth, mate. Garth just told me he's having a wife's pregnant. They're going to have a child soon. So, or I don't know how soon, how long that takes.
But it's exciting.
Yeah, so we're excited. So, yeah, that's good on you, Garth. Yeah, and Gemma. Yeah.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Congratulations.
Is that all you're after? Or?
More, Nate. Love your work. Thank you so much.
Love your juice.
Yeah, there is that. but we love everyone in West Australia buying our products, and everyone enjoys that. That's fantastic. But, yeah, if it wasn't for Nate, we'd be unknown there. So thanks so much. And Tao, of course, doing all the behind the scenes work.
She does all the work.
She does all the work. That is most definitely sure. All she does is hit me. I mean, she helps run the taxes. I love you, sweetie. Don't hit me.
Encourage you.
She encourages me. There you go. Oh, shit, she's here.
Hey.
You're saying hello. So, guys, I'd like to have everyone see my face today. I have no black eyes. And I have no stares.
And listen, thanks to you guys for coming on and tasting our booze and being positive about it and enjoying it. It's a tough gig, but somebody's got to do it, so thank you.
Thank you guys very much for taking the time out of your busy, busy evening, because it has been a long day. As I can actually see from the entire crowd, we're all just kind of, fuck.
Busy times, but no, thank you very much for coming on, guys.
Yeah, like it's an absolute pleasure. I've been looking forward to this all week, so thank you guys very much for jumping on and talking us through some of your amazing whiskeys and rum.
And thanks, Russell, for all the technical stuff, too.
Yes!
Well done, Russ. Sorted us out.
Hey, one last thing I had is it's been amazing to hear from a couple of your neighbours, I guess, in recent weeks, who have all been talking about how awesome you guys are, so... there's definitely some respect coming from the other side of the fence too.
Oh, good.
That's pretty cool. Thank you.
That's it.
See you in person.
See you in person sometime soon.
Very soon, hopefully. Very
folks, we'll see you all next week, and then next Saturday we're actually going to Margaret River. So is it next Saturday?
Yeah. Oh shit.
Oh, you don't get to go. You stupid.
I better block that out of the calendar.
We're a professional. Good night.
No, you don't check emails anyway.